Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Answers from the Lab, where we share Mayo Clinic knowledge and advancements on the state of testing and science from laboratory leaders and the people who are making it happen behind the scenes. I'm Dr. Bobby Pritt, your host, and a clinical microbiologist and the chair of the Division of Clinical Microbiology at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota.
For today's episode, we welcome Ben Levno from our product management team at Mayo Clinic Laboratories for a test-specific podcast.
Thanks for the introduction, Dr. Pritt. Today, we'll be discussing the new p-tau 217 plasma assay from our clinical and immunoassay lab with Dr. Algeziris. But before we get started, Dr. Algeziris, could you just provide a little bit of background on your role at Mayo Clinic?
Yes, absolutely. I'm so happy to be here talking about the plasma p-tau 217 assay. I am a professor of laboratory medicine and pathology at Mayo Clinic in Rochester, and I'm one of the co-directors of the Clinical Immunoassay Laboratory. I have been working in the Alzheimer's disease biomarker field for about 8 years now, leading first implementation of the CSF biomarkers for Alzheimer's disease, and now the implementation of the Alzheimer's disease blood biomarkers. During my time here at Mayo, I have worked very closely with the behavioral neurology practice, and I have been leading their biomarker testing efforts for their research work, which allow us for evaluate the clinical validity and performance of these biomarkers before bringing them into the clinical practice.
That's perfect, Dr. Algeziris. And I know it is a rapidly evolving field. So before we get into the test itself, can you just explain a little bit about the disease state and especially some of the recent changes?
Yes, absolutely. And as you mentioned, it has been a very rapidly evolving field and an exciting field to be part of. The diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease and the role of fluid biomarkers specifically has really changed in the last 5 years. For example, when we started to offer the Alzheimer's disease evaluation assay in CSF 4 years ago, there were a lot to still be understood about how to use these biomarkers and how into incorporated them into the clinical evaluation of these patients. So we were one of the pioneers to bring these assays into clinical practice and use them here at Mayo Clinic. Now, the CSF biomarkers are FDA approved and are being utilized in the routine clinical evaluation of patients presenting with symptoms of cognitive decline in many institutions, including here at Mayo Clinic. The way that these Alzheimer's disease fluid biomarkers work is that they assess the accumulation of amyloid beta in the brain, which is one of the neuropathological features observed in individuals with Alzheimer's disease. And this amyloid beta accumulation is also the target for therapeutic interventions of the recently approved disease-modifying therapies such as lecanemab. So, for example, in patients being considered for lecanemab, the presence of amyloid pathology needs to actually be demonstrated by either a CSF test or an imaging test, or most recently, as it's been introduced into clinical practice, by a blood test. Now, one of the issues with the use of CSF biomarkers is the invasiveness of the CSF collection and also the availability in some institutions or the access to have a lumbar puncture performed. So by being able to now have and introduce Alzheimer's disease blood biomarkers into clinical practice, these are going to serve as a non-invasive and a scalable tool to aid in the evaluation of patients presenting with mild cognitive impairment, as well as in determining the eligibility for these disease-modifying therapies. Of the various Alzheimer's disease blood biomarkers evaluated thus far, the phosphorylated tau at position 217, or as you early referred to as p-tau 217, provides the highest diagnostic accuracy and specificity for the detection of amyloid pathology.
That's a perfect overview, Dr. Algeziris. And I do want to get into some of the other biomarkers and some of the methodology, but I think that will come out as we talk about our assay. So why don't we move into that? Describe our p-tau 217 tests, the methodology, some of the specifications about our test.
Yes, absolutely. So You know, one of the challenges with the introduction of Alzheimer's disease blood biomarkers into clinical practice has been the differences in clinical performance of the various blood biomarkers, and even also the differences in performance of the various assays for the same biomarker. And these differences can lead to various degrees of false positive or false negative results, which can lead to the over or under diagnosis of amyloid pathologies in these individuals. At Mayo Clinic, in collaboration with our behavioral neurology practice, we perform a clinical validation of various assays in order to select an assay that provides that highest diagnostic accuracy to decrease the numbers of false positive and false negative results. And we selected an immunoassay for plasma p-tau217 that is performed in an automated immunoassay system, allowing for a fast turnaround time and highly precise measurements. As we implement this test, we will be currently testing twice per week with a potential turnaround time of 1 to 5 days, depending on when the sample is received in the laboratory. Now, as I just mentioned, this assay has been clinically validated in a sample cohort from the Mayo Clinic Study of Aging and the Alzheimer's Disease Research Center. And the interpretation cut points that we selected were specifically selected to provide a sensitivity for a positive result of 92% and a specificity of 96% for the detection of the positive amyloid PET. So amyloid PET was our reference method. And the overall accuracy of the test is 93%. We also, as part of our analytical validation, we evaluated the stability of plasma p-tau217 and found that it's a very stable biomarker in plasma, which is very good news because this allowed for clients to send the sample to us refrigerated. There is no need for special sample collection or processing of the plasma sample prior to sending to the laboratory.
That's a great overview of our assay. I just want to draw out a couple things. We've looked at several different assays, Dr. Al-Dazir, as you mentioned. We selected the one that we thought provided the most accurate results with the fastest turnaround time and without any special collection instructions. I think those are all going to make this easier for our clients to use. But you kind of alluded to cut points and results. So can you explain a little bit more about what the results that our clients will receive look like?
Yes, so our assay uses a two-cut point model for result interpretation, and this approach really maximizes the overall test accuracy for individuals with a positive or a negative result and minimize the number of patients that will need additional testing for confirmation of amyloid pathology. So the results will be reported as either negative, positive, or an intermediate result. A negative result is consistent with a negative amyloid PET result and indicates a reduced likelihood that an individual has neuropathological changes associated with Alzheimer's disease. On the other hand, a positive result is consistent with a positive amyloid PET scan and will be consistent with the presence of neuropathological changes associated with Alzheimer's disease. And in the proper clinical context, this test result will be supportive of Alzheimer's disease being related to the current clinical symptoms. The intermediate p-tau217 result cannot accurately differentiate between the presence or absence of neuropathological changes associated with Alzheimer's disease. And in these cases, further testing such as CSF biomarker testing or amyloid PET will be necessary to determine the likelihood that the patient's symptoms are associated with Alzheimer's disease.
Thanks, Dr. Al-Daziris. So we'll have clearly positive, clearly negative, and then an intermediate range where further testing is needed. But it's really that range that allows us to have the higher accuracy at the high end of that spectrum. Is that a good summary?
Yes, that is correct. And we purposely set up the cut points to minimize the percentage of individuals that will follow in that intermediate zone. And really, it's a conservative approach to prevent people being misclassified as having amyloid pathology when they in reality they don't have it and might go to a treatment that is unnecessary. We estimate that about 15 to 20% of the patients might fall into that range. But if we think about it the other way, then 80% of the patients will likely be just fine by having a blood test and not need an invasive test such as CSF.
That's great, Dr. Eldezeres. Thank you for that further explanation. And now my next question, we'll talk about other options available in the market. Of course, we don't have time to go through all of the options on various specimen types, but can you just give a quick overview of how our test is unique compared to those on the market?
There are various commercial assays for blood biomarkers of Alzheimer's disease. There is plasma Aβ 42/40, plasma p-tau 181. However, diagnostic accuracy of these assays is lower than observed for p-tau 217. And as a consequence, these assays will likely have a higher rate of patient misclassification, meaning that there will be patients incorrectly classified as having amyloid pathology and vice versa. It is very important for clinicians that different blood-based biomarkers become available on the market that they really understand the clinical performance of the specific assay they are ordering. As I mentioned earlier, there is a large variability in performance between the different biomarkers, but also within different assays that measure the same biomarker. So knowing that the lab that they're using have performed a clinical validation of the assay is very important, so they know what the expected performance with that assay in that laboratory will be.
Yes, Dr. Eldezeres, thanks for doing all the hard work here. I feel like it's getting easier for physicians with a more accessible plasma test, but laboratories are going to have a lot of choices on methodology and biomarker, and it's important that clinicians also understand the lab that they're sending it to and exactly what biomarker they're testing and on what platform. So thanks again for doing all the research.
Transparency about the test performance is going to be key to make sure that we are not doing harm to the patients.
Exactly. So let's talk about the patients. Of course, they're at the center. What patients should have this testing performed, Dr. Eldezeres? And if you have any tips on which patients should not, please include that as well.
Great question, Ben. The way we did our clinical study and the cut points that we are going to be using for clinical interpretation were optimized for detection of amyloid pathology in individuals with symptoms, meaning those individuals that were mild cognitive impaired or had early dementia. And the age group, the way that it worked in our study, all of these patients were age 50 years and older. Therefore, to align with the study population, our recommendation is that this test should be used for the evaluation of individuals aged 50 years and older, presenting with symptoms with cognitive impairment, and who are being evaluated for Alzheimer's disease or other causes of cognitive decline. This assay was not developed as a screening test for Alzheimer's disease in a symptomatic individual. So individuals that do not have any symptoms of cognitive impairment should not be using this test. It should not be ordered on that group. And because we don't know the performance of the test for individuals that are younger than 50 years old, we discourage also the use of the test in that age group. As part of our studies, what we also found is that in individuals with advanced chronic kidney disease, so likely those individuals with an estimated glomerular filtration rate of 40 or lower, may have elevations of p-tau 217 that are not related to cognitive decline. So it is important that if the patient has late stage or advanced chronic kidney disease, that the p-tau 217 results be evaluated carefully.
Great, Dr. Eldezeres. That's really helpful and very clear. I think they need to be symptomatic, recommend 50 years and older, and then need to closely evaluate the results for those chronic kidney disease patients. Let's talk now about how those results are used in patient care.
This test hopefully will be positioned as one of the first tests performed in patients presenting with symptoms of cognitive decline. So in the proper clinical context, meaning when you have a patient that is symptomatic, the test will provide valuable information if the patient clinical symptoms are related to Alzheimer's disease. A positive or a negative result will tell the clinician if the patient has neuropathological changes associated with Alzheimer's disease, which will be similar to the information that the CSF test provides today. In the cases of an intermediate result, then additional testing will be needed to really better understand if the symptoms of the patients are related to Alzheimer's disease pathology.
That's great, Dr. Eldaziris. So the clear positive and negative will guide physicians' next step. And then there is still a role for CSF testing in that intermediate category. Is that what you said?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, we have shown that both tests, the A-beta 4240 or our Alzheimer's disease evaluation test, they both provide very similar information in terms of detection of amyloid pathology in CSF.
And we'll continue to offer our two CSF tests at Mayo Clinic Labs because we know that physicians feel more comfortable with various ratios and specimen types. So I think this really does add to a very robust menu of dementia testing here at Mayo Clinic Labs. So thanks so much for your time today, Dr. Eldaziris. One more question. Just summarize for our listeners what you're most excited about with this new test.
Yes, I've been seeing this field evolve, and I'm so excited to be able to now offer a blood-based biomarker. When you look at how the field has evolved, and now that we have disease-modifying therapies available, biomarker testing, fluid biomarker testing for Alzheimer's disease will become an essential component of the clinical evaluations of patients with a cognitive impairment. And now being able to have a plasma assay for p-tau217 will allow us to provide a rapid and a scalable tool for the detection of amyloid pathology, thereby promoting equity in dementia diagnosis and treatment.
Yes, very exciting, Dr. Eldaziris. Again, thanks for all the hard work to bring live this test and excited to see how it can help patients. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in to Answers from the Lab. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast and don't forget to tune in every Thursday and every other Tuesday.